What's up, everybody? It's Jamel Gibbs, your family-oriented entrepreneur. Welcome to another podcast episode. This is the Business and Investing Podcast, where you learn all things business and investing related. Today, we're going to talk about something that I've been recently discussing with you guys through my community posts, and that is auctions. So whether it be an in-person or online auction, we're going to talk about that in a little bit of detail today to give you guys an idea of how you can get started with auction investing. Now, obviously, you know, I'm a fan of it primarily because you get really good deals, but there are some specific things that you really want to know before. For example, if you're focused on online auctions, there's some specific things that you really want to do beforehand so that you can ensure yourself that you're getting a really good deal. You don't want to be the big wig trying to go out there and overbid everybody at the auction because you'll lose your shirt, right? And that's not the way that we play the game. But we'll talk about what you should do on this particular podcast with my good friend that we have today, my man Paul Lazell. What's up, brother?
What's up, Jamel, man? Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to this, man. I'm looking forward to this entire conversation. This is something that I'm pretty passionate about in my real estate investing business as well. But why don't you go ahead, tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go ahead and get this show on the road, man.
Sure. Sounds great. I started investing in real estate part-time back in 2001. And even before that, I kind of had a foray to want to go into real estate investing. I graduated with a degree of finance and economics at Drexel University in Philadelphia in 1998. I worked for a small community bank as a business development officer and a commercial loan underwriter for a couple of years. And I did that part-time, or I did that full-time while I was investing in real estate part-time. But my goal eventually was to get out of the 9-to-5 and just get straight into the real estate investing world, as most people want to do. All right, I have a background in contracting. I worked from junior high all through college, paid myself through college by doing contracting work for my uncle, who was a general contractor. We did everything: roofing, siding, windows, doors, electrical, plumbing, what you name it, we did it. Concrete work, we did landscaping. So this was a great background for me to have to get into real estate investing. One, to know what it took to rehab a property and what kind of cost it would be and how labor intensive it was. So that gave me a nice little background. So I started investing, believe it or not, in HUD homes, right? Which is a form of auctions. You're bidding online, right? On HUDHomestore.gov. And back then in 2001, man, you could throw out that things that get deals every single week. And I mean, good deals, yeah, as you probably well know. There were deals out the wazoo. So I went full time in 2004. My goal was to save up 18 months worth of bill paying ability, right? So I could tell my wife, look, we got 18 months stash. If this start to not look good year in, I can go back, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll be fine. So I saved up that 18 months worth of bill paying ability and went into it, never turned back, went through that financial crisis in 2008. And that's where I really shifted my model, Jamel, and went from just kind of doing local to all over the country. That's really where I went virtual. I started buying on auction.com and then not too much. And Hudson & Marshall was around before that as well.
Yep.
And then started, you know, Zome was called Home Search back then, mm-hmm, when it first came out. Better name. I keep telling them they should switch back to it because I got a whole thing I could tell you about the name Zome. That'd be a whole other conversation. We'll have to do offline on that and how that came about. But, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of different auction companies out there. But I started going virtual at that point around 2009, 2010. I was going heavy from Pennsylvania to New Jersey to Ohio to the Virginias to the Carolinas and where you are. And the Carolinas are one of my, yeah, they're just my favorite markets in the country. They're just awesome. Always have been. And I think will be for the foreseeable future. They still fit that Sun Belt. And then started buying all over the country. And before you know it, I bought 44 out of 50 states.
That's awesome, man. Now, my original mentor, my only mentor I've ever had, Steve DiPalantino, he used to buy a lot in the Philly area. And then he kind of branched out into the Berks County area where I was doing a lot of business, but he introduced me to the HUD Home Store back then. It wasn't HUD Home Store back then. I think it was
something else.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, HUD.gov or something crazy, yeah, right? But then he had the keys. Remember the old keys? Yeah, so he had like the master key to all of the HUD houses, and I used to have, he gave me a copy of the keys, and I used to go mm-hmm. around and look at the houses before they actually hit the market. And then, you know, long story short, we got a ton of deals done that way, but things have changed. You know, HUD Home Store is not necessarily like my favorite place because they're pretty lean when it comes to deals these days. But auction.com, you mentioned, I just bought one, you know, I'm actually closing on it October 2nd. But that's one of my favorite websites to purchase auction properties these days, man. But how did you get started with it, man? Like talk to me a little bit about it. Like how, like, was auction investing on your mind when you first started as a real estate investor?
It was, but it was really through the HUD Home Store at that point. Gotcha. And then when I saw these online platforms like auction.com and Hudson and Marshall out there, mm-hmm. I said, you know what? This is just like HUD Home Store. Let me check it. And that's online bidding. And it was the same deal. Like, here it is. And you got to come up with your numbers. This is where you were right with your audience earlier saying you have to have an idea of what the property's value is, mm-hmm. what kind of repairs it needs, at least some kind of an idea. And you can use formulas to come up with this mm-hmm. and estimates before you're bidding on it. Because if you bid on a bunch and don't go through, they will blackball you. They'll block you. Like auction.com, if you don't close on one or two here or there, they'll stop you for a couple weeks before you can bid again, right? As a lot of people will find out. And then if you do enough, they'll just boot you off. So you got to be careful with it. But that's what got me interested. HUD Home Store kind of got me interested in the online thing. And then my whole interest was buying out of market because maybe it's your place I want to go vacation to or just other places I want to see and visit. Now, rarely have I ever gone to visit any of these properties, but in my mind, I wanted to. Like, I wanted to go into different markets. I wanted that challenge of going to a different market.
Yeah, man. I honestly never go out and see these properties, even if they're local. I did go to this particular one. I wasn't allowed to get into the property, so I had to use some formulas in order to understand how much work it actually needed, but... long story short, I was able to get a deep disc. Well, not a deep discount, but a $13,000 reduced price on this property because they sold it as a three, but it was technically a two bedroom. Okay. So they cut the price. So, you know, I actually have another video coming out on YouTube talking about that because, that is possible. A lot of people think you can't renegotiate your price. If you could get the seller to agree to it, then you can get an addendum signed and, you know, get a reduced price on these properties. But, yeah, man. So was it an easy transition going from, you know, normal houses to auction style homes when you first started?
You know, because you don't go see the property, there mm-hmm. is a different process to it. So it's not simple, but I felt comfortable enough if I had pictures or I can send an agent that's in that particular area to go by and, like, you know, just take a couple of pictures if they can get inside, give me an idea what they think it needed in repairs. That was enough for me mm-hmm. because, you know, the boots on the ground was them. I don't necessarily need to be there. And I'm just like you, Jamel. I don't want to go see any of these properties if I don't have to. I'd much rather stay in the office, record videos, do stuff, and, you know, sit on a computer all day, mm-hmm. watch YouTube, watch Jamel Gibbs on YouTube.
Well, I appreciate that, my man.
But no, I'd rather do that. So that was an intriguing aspect of it to be able to try and challenge yourself to do something virtual. Everybody, you know, so many of the people we sell to, they're like, you buy out of market.
Yeah.
Like, don't you feel uncomfortable that not seeing a property? I'm like, no, I actually feel uncomfortable if I do have to go see the property. I don't want to go see if I don't have to. I should know what the value of the property is and be able to come up with these numbers pretty easily with all the, you know, you could use just Zillow, honestly. You really could use Zillow and have a great idea what the value of the property is and not have MLS access. You know, there is enough good data out there between Zillow, Redfin, and some others.
Yeah, we're going to definitely deep dive into all of that, man, because, you know, it's really important for people to understand the steps. A lot of people think you can just go on auction.com and just get a deal. It doesn't work that way. Right. You can get a deal when you know what a deal is and you have to do the homework beforehand. I would never bid on a property on auction.com unless I've done my homework. You know, so we'll talk about all that in detail. But before we get into that, man, what are some of the hurdles that people will face when they're trying to get started buying online through these auctions?
So the biggest hurdle we run in with our students is trying to come up with the as-is value and after repair value. And this is like, I think this is typical just in anybody who's newer getting into investing, that they don't feel comfortable with their own numbers, right? They always feel like they need you to verify the numbers for them. And we'll verify numbers for them, or we'll say, look, you're really low based on this, or your numbers are way high based off this. But more often than not, most of the students get their numbers pretty darn well once they've gone through the training videos and understand how to comp and do things. But I think it's just the biggest challenge we run into is analysis paralysis, because they just don't believe in their numbers. And you probably have the same thing with students that you deal
Absolutely, with. Man. Absolutely. 100%. Man, I have to verify it. And it's not until they get really, really comfortable doing it, like you said, that's when, you know, that transitionary period starts, where they start to get it. Another issue that we come up with is the repairs. So we kind of use a formula in order to be able to make that happen. But like, do you come across that same issue as well? Like finding the repairs? We use a square footage approach. Are you using kind of the same?
You do. So we use the exact same thing, the square footage approach, and then you can go in and fine tune it, right? So if you're looking and you have good photos, if you have good photos, you really kind of need those, right? Or some kind of verification. If it looks like the kitchen's okay, and maybe you can just paint the cabinets, maybe new countertop stuff, then we adjust those numbers. But we do use a square footage approach to a basic, to any of these basic properties. And then you're looking at, does it need a roof? How are the windows, and what do the systems look like? The heating, you know, the air conditioning, those kind of things.
Absolutely, man. And you know, on another note, when we're comping, you know, we're looking at the age of the property, right? So we plus or minus based on age, plus or minus based on, you know, an amount of bedrooms, plus or minus based on garage,
right,
et cetera, right? So you kind of, I take a simple approach, but then I go into a little more detail once I know I'm ready to bid on that property. So why don't we provide our listeners with, let's say, a step-by-step process on what it takes to be ready for an auction. So you know what your bid is before you actually go in.
Yes.
And you're confident in making that bid and what not to do. Let's talk about some of that after, okay?
Absolutely. So we'll start with when you're looking at properties, right? So we'll go through, let's say you're looking at a certain market. Let's say you're looking at Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So you go through all the properties available on that Memphis market. And then what we end up doing initially is we'll send it to our virtual assistant, our VA in the Philippines, who will do the first initial scrub for us. But since most people are just getting started don't have that, what we end up doing is first we're looking at the pictures. I think when you're first getting started in real estate investing, you don't want a train wreck. You don't want to get something that needs everything, right? Because you're going to run into too many problems there. Mm-hmm. So you want to find something, at least for your first deal, what we want with our students is to find something that's not in too bad a shape, right? That maybe could be a wholesale deal, something that they could just do paint and carpet if they're going to do anything to it, if they're not going to just straight wholesale to somebody else. So we have them look for that. So that's the first thing. All right, then we're going to have them pull comp. So if it's a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bathroom, 1,200 square foot home on a quarter of an acre, it's pretty easy to go on Zillow, as long as it's in a city, right? It's in an area where you can pull a reasonable amount of comps. If we can't find enough comps, we don't even have them look at it, because we can't verify the data then. But let's say it's in Memphis, you're going to get plenty of comps on this.
3 to 5 is what you're typically looking for? 3 to 5?
Yep, 3 to 5. If we can get 3 to 5 and we're close to our numbers as far as square footage of the house, number of bedrooms, bathrooms, similar style, doesn't have to be the exact same style, but similar enough, then we'll know, all right, we got a pretty good number here. And then we err on the caution of the lowest comp, right? We go in the lowest comp, and then I'll discount right now, because we don't know what's going on with this market, mortgage rates and everything. I'll still have them discount that comp by maybe another 5 or 10% just to be safe, right now.
Quarter of a mile radius.
Quarter of a mile radius. If you're in a more rural area, and we do a lot of rural ones, I'm sure you do some too, Jamel. So I don't mind doing them. I personally love them, but we find better spreads we'll get on those. Then you just have to spread out your area that you're looking at a little bit more. You might have to be looking at a 2-mile radius.
Yep.
But then you have to be careful of roads, right? On this major, say there's major freeway going through, you don't want to be too close to that.
Yeah.
You want to be far enough off, or that one side of the road could be totally different than the other side of the road. So we really try to make it within that radius of where that property is as much as possible. Side of the street, man. That's right.
So you're running your comps. So you're looking at a quarter of a mile radius, same like and kind property, similar square footage within 200 square feet, 250 square feet, something like that.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah, so if it's a 1,200 square foot house, we'll look at, when we do Zillow, we'll do it between 1,000 and 1,500 square feet to give us that number in there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And obviously, liking, you know, if it's in rural areas, you got to go out a little further. But what I typically do on those is I'll go out slowly. So let's say if it's a quarter of a mile, I might go to a third. I can't find enough, I'll go out to a fourth, et cetera. You know what I mean? So you want to go out
slowly. What you said is key there, Jamel. I can't emphasize that enough. You do want to go out slowly. You don't just want to spread it out to a 5 mile radius, because you can get numbers all over the place when you do that. Yeah. So you want to really slowly go out. Great point. Great point there.
Absolutely, man. Are we missing anything when it comes to comps? I believe we kind of covered everything there, right?
No, we hit with everything. Then you're just looking at the condition of the house, right? Yeah. How does the roof look? And sometimes it's hard to tell with some of these grainy pictures they put on these auction properties. It makes it really tough. That's why it's good if you can get somebody, a local agent, to go out there and look at it for you. That gives you, and you'll get better pictures, right? They could use their iPhone or Android. You're going to get way better pictures than you're going to get what the agent took, for sure.
Right. For sure, man. And then that allows us to make, you know, that square footage estimate that we need in order to be able to work our numbers. How are you approaching a square footage estimate from that point forward?
So when we initially do, you know, like as price for, as far as repairs, we're looking initially at around $35 per square foot. And that's kind of what we look at for like a landlord owner that's going to keep it, right? Mm-hmm. Not going to be a huge amount of repairs going in. If it needs more stuff like a roof and siding and windows, then you're gonna have to up that number big time, as you well know. We generally go in with a $35 per square foot approach initially, and that gives us really pretty good idea. And then we'll use pictures and see, and if we can send somebody in there, have them get a picture of the kitchen, the bathrooms, the hot water heater and the heater and air conditioning unit, just to see what kind of condition they're in. Because if we see they don't look good, we're just going to know we have to replace that in all likelihood, or whoever rehabs it will.
Yeah. Now let's say, like in my case, I couldn't see the property. I amped that number up a whole lot, right? So like what type of a number are you looking at square footage wise when you can't see the inside of the properties?
I'm going to go up to at least $55 to $65 a square foot. I'm going to assume it needs full rehab. I'm going to go train wreck on this. Well, not train wreck, but I'm going to assume it needs everything. Even if the outside looks okay, I'm going to assume it needs everything on the inside. That way I can't get burned. If you go with too low of a number, now, like you said earlier, you can renegotiate, right? But a lot of them, they won't let you into these properties. That's the HUD CWCOT program. You probably buy some like that, as I buy quite a few of those. And they don't want to let you in. There is ways to get in. I don't want to tell you to do that. It's illegal, right? You don't want to do that. But if you can get somebody, at least get some pictures through the window type thing, as long as it's vacant, right? You don't want to do this if it's an occupied property. We don't have the students do any occupied properties. Yep. Don't want them to get into that, right? Only look at the vacant. So focus on the vacant properties.
That's right.
Because then at least you're not going to get arrested. You're just taking pictures of the property. So.
And also, I don't like, you know, even when I'm doing regular deals, I don't want to, I prefer vacant properties, because even if I close on it and I know I got to put money into it to get the real value out of it, I don't want to take, number one, I don't want to take on somebody else's problem, right? Yes. So I don't like, unless it's a multi-unit property, I'm not looking at something that has tenants in it, right? So I prefer vacant properties, and that way we can go in, do what we have to do, and get out, right? Make our money. That's all we want to do, right? With properties that come with tenants, you're gonna have to evict tenants. There's a whirlwind of stuff that you have to take care of in order to be able to get those done. So I just prefer vacant properties. On this one, I was able, like you said, there's ways to get in. I'm not gonna talk about that, but we were able to look through the windows, quote unquote, and we found out that they sold us a 3-bedroom. But it was actually a 2, and we were able to get the price reduced, right? So first things you guys want to do, you know, there's a list of things that I personally like to do. Like you said, Paul, he sorts through whatever falls within a specific criteria. We like to stick to bread and butter properties. That's what you guys want to do. The 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1.5-bath, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 square foot home. That's the home that's going to sell the easiest. So we stick to those, right? Then we don't want train wrecks. If it is, I have the experience rehabbing. If you're brand new, you don't necessarily want to focus on those, right? So Once you pick the properties, next thing you need to do is run your comparable sales. Once you run your comparable sales, know your numbers. Paul is using a $35 per square foot approach. So if the house is 1,500 square feet, simply multiply it by 35 and you'll come up with your rehab estimate, right? If it's, you know, if you can't get into the property, run that number up. Maybe $65, $70 a square foot. $70 might be a little too high, but you can never really go too high if you can't see what's in the inside.
Right? So true.
So next thing you do is you come up with your formula to make an offer. What type of formula are you using, brother?
So we use the ARV, right, on the offer. We times it by 70% on general. Now, I have reduced it to 65% in more rural markets and in markets that are, you know, not as quick movers, just to be safe. Minus, if I want to wholesale, get a wholesale fee of, say, 15 grand on this property, I'll minus that out as well. But you also got to figure out closing costs, right? Because in bank-owned properties, we can't sign the contract. We have double close on these properties, right? So we got closing costs on the buy side and sell side as well. So we got to factor those things in. So if you want a 15K wholesale fee, you better factor 20 grand and just cover your closing costs.
That's exactly what we do, man. 70 cents on a dollar minus repairs, minus wholesale fee. Sometimes, you know, the wholesale fee depends on how competitive the market is as well, because you have some markets, people pay 80 cents on a dollar for a property, you know? Yes. So if that's the case, you can obviously go up a little bit on your price, but that's where knowing your market comes into play. Right. So then you have your number. What do we do next, brother?
See, after you got your number and you know what it is, you come up with your maximum allowable offer. So take that 70 minus the repairs, minus your wholesale fee, and then you come up with your maximum allowable offer. And my objective whenever I'm bidding on these properties is to be under my MAO. I want to be under that when I'm bidding. Just, you know, if I hit it, that's fine. And it's if it's good, it's in a hot area, like you said, if you know the market really, really well, I don't mind being at my MAO, but I generally want to be under it. It just gives me a little buffer, gives me a little bit of a safety buffer margin for her.
Absolutely. So when you go on, let's say auction.com and you're ready to place a bid, you know what your max number is. Your objective is not to go above that number. Yeah. Don't get into a bidding war because then you're going to lose your shirt, right?
Yeah. You don't want to fall in love with the property. You want to fall in love with the deal. That's always the case with real estate, right? And let's use a simple number, for example, for a deal here, just so people can kind of understand what we're talking about. So if we're talking about $100,000 after repair value, times 70%, so then you're down to 70 grand. Let's say it needs 20 grand of work. Now you're down to 50 and you want to wholesale it and make 15 grand. Now you're down to 30. So when you look at that, you're like, who's going to take that number? Believe it or not, they'll take that number. They'll take that number a lot, right? It depending on the market, depending on the condition, where it's at. Those are the numbers you need to be at just to keep yourself safe. And another good rule of thumb when you're looking at these properties and pricing them and figuring out what your MAO is going to be. When we buy these properties, we usually want to be one of the lowest recent solds or lower than the most recent solds on Zillow. So any or through the MLS, right? Whatever they are, let's say they're average selling at 45. If we're at 35, we know we're good. We got some buffer right there. We got a little bit of a margin.
Absolutely, man. Now, once you get an offer accepted, obviously there's an entire process with that. Yeah. They'll give you a step-by-step process, right? But you have to put down earnest money as well. Now, that's usually about 5%.
5%. Yeah.
Sometimes they'll charge like a broker fee and all this other stuff. But 5% is usually the norm. So you got to have access to at least 5% of your purchase price when you're purchasing these. And that's usually non-refundable, guys, just so you know. Right? Okay. Now, a lot of people get stuck when it comes to funding these types of deals. What they don't realize is you can use hard money. The problem is if you can't get into the property, most hard money lenders want a contractor's estimate and they want to be able to get the property appraised in advance. So you need to get into the property. If you can't do that, what are some other ways that you can fund these things, man?
So what the next best way to do that is if you can get access to private lenders, people who will loan you money. Like we have several people loan us 100% of the purchase price plus the rehab if we're going to rehab it. Right now we're trying to get away from rehabs in this market, but they'll loan us some money. Then we don't have to get anybody in there. Nobody has to take pictures or do any of those kind of things. So these are relationships people need to build, whether it's through the friends and family network, going to their local RIA and meeting people and telling them exactly what they're doing and what their plan is. And then As I tell people, new investors all the time, people are like, where am I going to find the funding? They won't fund me. I'm brand new. I'm like, well, guess what? If you bring the deal, if it's a deal, the money will come. People at the RIA will fund it. I remember the first time I went to a RIA and I brought a great deal there. Like, yeah, I'll fund it. People were left and right wanting to fund it. And this is back in the early 2000s. Still the case right now. If somebody comes to me and they got a deal, I'm going to fund it. I'm going to fund it
Absolutely.
for them, right? So I'm sure you're the same with that, Jamel.
Yep, absolutely, man. Our business model is very, very similar, but that's what active I mean, we don't reinvent the wheel, right? We stick to what works. A lot of investors, we all do pretty much as active investors. We all do the same things, right? There's no secret sauce to this whole thing. You just got to get out there, build relationships, and make things work. And that's where a lot of people fall short. They don't necessarily put in the effort, in the time, in the work to be able to get it done the right way. But like you said, if it's a deal, if it's a deal, that's a key phrase. You will get the deal funded. Most of the times, you have plenty of time to get these deals funded, 30, 45 days, and that gives you enough time to find a buyer. That gives you enough time to do a lot of different things. If you wanted to double close, not a challenge. The problem is if you can't get into the property, most investors want to see the property before they purchase. So you might have to close it, sit on the money for a little while, and then find a buyer on the other end, unless you're able to get into the property beforehand. Any tricks to the trade that you're using right now in order to be able to sell them if a buyer wants to see, I keep saying wholesaler, if a buyer wants to see the property beforehand, but you can't get in, what has worked for you?
That's been a bugger, right? And that's always going to be a tough one. But a lot of times, especially if it's somebody we've already sold to before and they trust us and know our deals, they'll go look at it, we'll explain it to them, and they might get it in by any means necessary, right? They're usually going to want to get in. And I've had people say, I'll find a way to get in. I'm like, okay, just don't tell me.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
and make sure it's secure when you leave, okay? Make sure it's secure when you leave. Most investors are pretty good with that. And that is a great way to do it. So you could do a back-to-back closing. There's a couple of different ways people can buy keys online for some of these properties. And I don't know whether you want to disclose that on the show, but we could talk about that offline if need be too. But there's access to them. You can buy these, the whole set, and be able to go look at them, right? I mean,
I
most
got
of the
a
bank.
copy of them, man. I got a
Me
copy
too.
of them. Nowadays, they're using lock boxes and stuff
They
like
are.
that, and they're changing up the keys, but it is what it is. As investors, you think outside the box, you become creative thinkers, and you do things legitimately and legally. That's what we're promoting here, right? You do things that
Yes.
will allow you to be able to make good decisions. That's basically what we're doing. So,
Absolutely.
any other obstacles that our listeners might face when getting started doing stuff like this?
Yeah, so I wonder if they win and they get that contract, this is a really important thing because sometimes our students forget to hit this box. You want to choose the financing. You don't want to say cash. You want to choose specialty financing. And there's like companies like Kiavi, these asset-based lenders out there, Lending One, Lima One Capital, Dominion. There's a bunch of other ones out there as well. That buys you more time. If you pick the cash option, they're going to try to make you close in 2 or 3 weeks. They try to rush it. But if you pick up the financing, you're always going to get at least 30 days, sometimes 45 days. And a lot of times you can get an extension. You can have your title company stall it and say they're waiting for tax cert or waiting for water, waiting for this or that. Right? There's ways to stall it to buy you some more time. So know that you can do that. And know also that you can renegotiate like Jamel did on his deal to get money off his. I had a similar situation in Pittsburgh on a property that was originally going to pick up for 49 five that had a wall that was slightly leaning. It was just a garage wall, right? Not a big deal. And there was some stuff in the interior because my agent was able to get in there, even though it was a CWCOT. And we sent pictures, said, look, we can't do this. We need money off. I started at 25. I knew they weren't going to do it. I was just trying to get to 10. We went back and forth and we finally settled on 10K and I got my 10K off too. So you can negotiate. You don't want to do it all the time. You don't want to make a habit of it, but there are times when you want to do it because they'll understand. If you make a habit of you're doing it on every deal, what's going to happen is they're not going to work with you so much if you do that. But if you pick it and choose in certain and you have good reason for it, they totally understand that and they'll work with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So we've laid it all out for you guys. I mean, I don't think we're missing anything. I think that really is, you got a home study course today. You know what I mean? Obviously, there's some tricks to the trade that we kind of can't, you know, it happens on the spot. You know, that's just like with anything else. But really, you guys have gotten all of the information that you need. There's really no secret to it. You gotta know what type of properties you want, come up with your formula, know what repairs are, come up with your buy price, and place the bid. Don't go over your MAO, because if you do, then you're not making any money. You're losing money for every dollar you go above that MAO. And once you win, just go through the process. Have the 5%, start looking for the money. You might even want to start lining up the money in advance,
Agreed.
right? That may be a really good play for you, just so that you can start building these money relationships, hard money. Just start filling them out. Just say, look, I'm thinking about bidding on this property. Would you guys be interested in funding something like this if I win, right? So you can start building those, ask other investors, you know, other investors you're building relationships with. Like Paul said, go to the local REIA, right? Start talking to these investors. You know, I'm looking at this particular property. You don't have to give me the exact address, but it's an auction property. Would you be interested in funding if I get it at this price? These are the numbers. You break down an ARV, you break down the repairs, you break down what you expect to get it at, right? If I win, would you fund something like this, right? And just start building that relationship, lining the people up, right? This is a great way to find properties without having to have a marketing budget, right? This is a
Yes.
great way to find, it really is a great way to find deals. Yes, you're going to have some competition, but the competition is not as fierce as you might think it is, because everybody's not bidding on auction properties.
So
So
true.
keep these things in mind. I would definitely add this into your arsenal as a way to do more deals, and you'll find all types of properties on these auction websites. The same play if you're going in person, right? The difference is, when you're in person, you can build cash buyers, or you can build relationships with cash buyers as well. Have you been going in person lately, Paul?
I personally have not. I have not gone in person at any of
Same.
these recently. I used to when there were some in Pennsylvania when I was up there, some of the local ones, but I have not in a long time. But it is a great way to find cash buyers. There are a lot of other investors there, and a lot of them just want to be, they want either bird dogs or they want to joint venture with people. There's a lot of that out there for sure.
Absolutely, man. Now, how can our listeners get in contact with you, in case they wanted some more information or see what you're doing, man?
Sure, they can check us out at reoauctionacademy.com. That's our website there for the educational platform. They can check us out on YouTube under The Virtual Investor. And then I also have my podcast, Flipping Out, that's also on YouTube. They could check that out. They can contact me either way there, direct message me there. On Facebook, they could find me. I'm just under Paul Lizell. Trying to think what other, those are probably the best ways. FlipRealEstateVirtually.com is another website we have where they can go in and check out and find some more information on there as well. But a lot of good resources out there. And what you said, Jamel, there is no marketing cost. My favorite part is there's no marketing cost. You could do this part-time or full-time. Most of our students are part-time people and they have full-time jobs because they could turn it on and turn it off whenever they want. They don't have to answer a phone call when they're doing direct mail, right? Whenever that seller's calling. This is a totally different model. You can go on vacation and shut it down for 2 weeks if you want, come back and restart it and reboot. It's very simple plug and play. And more investors, seasoned investors are starting to get into it now because there's less inventory, right, Jamel? As you know, there's less inventory on the MLS and people are fighting for deals so much. So now we have more seasoned guys who some of their people have downtime and they're teaching them. Well, they're kind of learning through our platform how to do this and how to invest this way and just adding it as extra deals. If they add another deal a month, they're happy.
Yep, exactly, man. I literally just had a student, a coaching student, get a deal today for $57,000, $130,000 house. It's going to
Nice.
be a prehab deal. Pretty good deal. It's in the Atlanta market, actually Macon, Georgia. So she can go ahead and wholesale it. Her plan is to fix and flip. She's got to be careful with that these days. But in my market, the inventory is still low and people are still buying. So, you know, like as you know, real estate is a very local business. You got to see what's happening in your local area. If there's still if houses are still moving, then you have a good fix and flip play, right? If they're starting to slow down, you might want to think about wholesaling. People are buying and holding. Interest rates are up right now, so the burr method is kind of shaky unless your numbers fall within, within that category where it's going to make sense. Right. You know what I mean? So you just got to be careful. Right now is a great time to be wholesaling real estate. Great time to be doing creative finance. Great time to be buying these auction deals if you don't really want a marketing budget, as long as you have access to the money. But I'm definitely going to link Paul's information in the description box. Make sure you guys check all of that out. Reach out if you want to learn more about how this actually works. And Paul, if you had to provide our listeners with some last words of advice, what would those words be?
So we're at a time of the year right now where it's really important on the auction side. Between September and around March is the best buying opportunities for the auctions. And the reason being is they're trying to get everything off the books before the end of the year. And that does bleed into early into the next year. So we're in an opportunity buying time right now. We're seeing it. We're getting a lot more deals approved than we were a month and a half, 2 months ago. So if you're thinking about it, if you're on a fence, now's definitely a great time to do it. And that's one piece of advice. The second thing is stop thinking about it. Just go ahead and do it, right? Don't get out of your own way. You could be super successful in this business if you have drive and determination. Both Jamel and I are examples of that, right? We're both driven. We're determined to make it work in this business. And we have, and you can too.
Absolutely. We didn't know what we were doing when we first started, right? We figured it out and we made it happen. But at the same time, along the way, and I'm sure you can attest to this, we had some people show us the right way of doing things, and that's totally important. And that's what you guys are doing right here. But if you want to check out, more detailed programs and stuff like that, all the links will be in the description box below. I really appreciate you, man. I appreciate you hopping on board, having this conversation. Want to do this again. If you guys want to see Paul again on this channel, be sure to leave a comment in the comment section. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this anywhere in podcast world, definitely, reach out, let us know that you want to have Paul back on, and we will definitely make that happen. Look forward to the next one, guys, and I'll see you then. Take care.